Grab your Bible. It's time for Reading the Word with Justin Reed, sponsored by the Wood Church of Christ in Woodbury. Now, here's Justin.
Oh, thank you, Brother Dearman. Glad to have you along with us here as we're continuing our study in the book of Exodus. What we're doing is we're reading the Word. Yes, my name is Justin Reed. Let's get into the Word of God, shall we? I've got my copy of God's Word already open to the 20th chapter of Exodus. I would encourage you to do the same. We're going to study through this together as we were talking at the end of our study last time. You may or may not have ever been in a study where the presenter goes through all 10 commandments in order. Usually they're read and maybe comment on one or two of them and move on. But friends, it is my goal here. We're going to go through all 10 commandments, the Decalogue, the 10 words as they were originally called. And just as a quick reminder, we were talking at the end of our program last time of how there's really two divisions in the Ten Commandments. The commands 1 through 4, verses 3 through 11, are how I treat God looking up. And then commands 5 through 10, or verses 12 through 17, are how I treat man. We go from vertically to God to horizontally from man to man. Let's study these together. Exodus 20 and verse 1. God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt and out of the house of bondage. Now we've identified the speaker. Let's hear his words. Command number one, no other gods. Exodus chapter 20 and verse 3. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Who's me? Well, God's speaking. So God's saying, no other gods. Now, something, friends, we need to note. When these would have been written, they're called the 10 words, the 10 sayings, if you will. More times than not, they were literally just two-ish words. Sometimes it may be three or four, but it may not have specifically said as it is in the King James, which I'm reading out of today, thou shalt have no other gods before me. More likely than not, literally, it said no other gods. And see, friends, when we have no other gods, it doesn't mean we can put them behind or beside or even before. There's none other that we worship. Well, why does God start out with no other gods? Think about where have the Egyptians been for the past, or excuse me, where, I just gave you the answer. Where have the Israelites been for the past 430 years? Well, in Egyptian bondage, right? We're familiar. We like to study. We watch movies and documentaries about all the lowercase g gods, the idols, if you will, of Egypt, Ra, and you know, all these other ones. God has just called them out of that. He says, no other gods. Not before me, beside me, behind me, anywhere. You know, Jesus Christ says in the middle of the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, he says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Seek ye first. First is number one, friends. It is a priority. Friends, God is to be first in our lives. There's an old song we would sing at vacation Bible schools from time to time, and it's to the tune of Jingle Bells. I'm not going to sing it to you, but the lyrics go, J-O-Y, J-O-Y, tell me what it means. Jesus first, yourself last, and others in between. Friends, if we truly put Jesus first and then worry about ourselves last and put others in the middle, that's truly how we find joy and that's how we are pleasing to God. Before me, God says, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Literally, that means before my face, in my presence. There's no loophole there, although some have tried to find it by saying, well, if I'm not in God's house, if I'm not worshiping God, not before him. But friends, God sees all, knows all, hears all, and is everywhere. So there is no place in the entire universe where God is not. So our first command, no other God. Second command, verse 4. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or in earth beneath or in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow thyself to them nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, I am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Our first command is no other gods, friends. Our second command is no graven image. See, here's the kicker. God says, you can't have any gods before me, and you can't even have anything else that looks like a god, or looks like an idol, or looks like an image. Thou shalt not have them. And friends, he says you shouldn't bow down to them. Now, we live in a world today where there are many idols. Many people are bowing down, but we should not be. Remember, just a moment ago, we quoted Matthew 6:33, "Seek ye first kingdom of God and all his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you." Friends, since God is first, number one priority in our lives, why would we want to worship anything else? Yet today, people create statues to Buddha, to Shiva, etc., etc. The list goes on and on. People right now, I would not be surprised if there was somebody in the world at this very moment making some idol for someone else to bow down and worship to. And you say, "Oh, Brother Justin, that's awful. And, you know, I don't bow down to any idol. I don't have a statue." Well, I tell you what, friends, the simple definition of an idol is anything you put before God. That means your hot rod could become an idol. That football game that you'd rather be watching than being at worship with your brothers and sisters in Christ. That fishing tournament you wanted to be in instead of being in worship. That ball game you just said it was so important that the team would lose if you weren't there instead of missing Wednesday night Bible study, friends. If you put anything before God, that becomes an idol. That's not fun to think about. It could be money. It could be work, friends. It could be our spouse, our relationships, our house, our children, our pets, anything. Yet God says, "Thou shalt not make any graven image and not bow down." Don't put anything before me. Don't even make anything that you think you could worship. We're going to have to pause here. Those are commands 1 and 2 of the Ten Commandments. Stick with us. A little information about the Wood Church Christ, where I'm honored to be the pulpit minister. When we come back, we'll look at the third of the Ten Commandments here on Reading the Word.
Reading the Word with Justin Reed is sponsored by the Wood Church of Christ. The building is located at 99 Sally Parton Road at the base of Short Mountain, 6 miles off 70 on Short Mountain Road on the left. Join us for Bible study Sunday at 10 a.m., worship at 11 a.m. and 5:30 p.m., with midweek Bible study Wednesday at 7 p.m.
Oh, thank you, Brother Dearman, and thank you for sticking around. If you're just now joining us, my name is Justin Reed. This is Reading the Word. We're in the book of Exodus, the 20th chapter, and we're ready for the third of the Ten Commandments. And this is found in Exodus chapter 20 and verse number 7. Where God plain and simply says, "Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain." What's our third command? Don't take the name of the Lord God in vain. Now, there's a couple of ways we need to think about this. God's name was often used in oaths. We still do it today, do we not? You go to a court system, they swear in a high-ranking government official, puts his or her hand on the copy of God's Word, and they say, "I swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth," unless you're, you know, Curly from the Three Stooges, but that's what you're supposed to do. Especially back in biblical times, you'd say, "I'd swear by the name of Jehovah God in heaven that this will happen, or I'll do that." So, in other words, to use God's name in vain simply could be making a false oath. And God says, "Well, thou shalt not take the name of thy Lord thy God in vain." He says, "I'm not going to hold you guiltless that does that." So that's one way to interpret it. And that works. We should not take the name of the Lord God flippantly. I tell you what, the Jewish people, friends, they were so peculiar about God's name, they wouldn't even speak it. Like, if they would have been reading through this and God's name, they would have maybe substituted the word heaven instead of God's name, because they thought God's name was so holy and their lips, tongues, so fleshly, so sinful, they couldn't even pronounce it. Or sometimes they substitute the word Adonai, which simply means my Lord, or they might even say my Lord. And when you're reading through a copy of God's Word, like, for instance, in verse 7, "Take the name of thy Lord," L, capital O, capital R, capital D, capital. When all those four letters are capital, that's really God's name. And it's often abbreviated YHWH. Yahweh is one of the best ways to pronounce it. But they would pronounce, or they would write it without any vowels, because they thought, even the name is so sacred, I can't even write the thing down. So when you see the word Lord in all capital letters, I want you to think that's God's actual name. Just a simple capital L, lowercase O, R, and D, that just means a master. these people, they were so peculiar about how they used God's name. He says, don't you dare swear falsely by it. And I tell you what another application is. We as Christians are supposed to speak as Christians, to think as Christians, act as Christians. We should not take the name of the Lord our God in vain by using profane words. Oh, we hear this all the time, and I have been around people who know I'm a Christian and know I'm a minister of the gospel, and they say, I'm sorry for what I'm about to say, Justin, or they'll say something that they should have never said, and they'll say, I'm sorry, Justin, as if they've offended me. Now, I don't like hearing it, but they've really offended the man who's the one that they've used his name in vain. They'll say, and I'm putting air quotes around this, oh my God, or they'll even use God's name in worse derogatory terms, friends. Don't take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. He says, I'm not going to hold you guiltless. You're doing these things that you shouldn't be doing. We need to be careful about that one, friends. We all need to watch our speech. James tells us our tongue needs to be tamed, but it's difficult at times. But it can and should be done. Our fourth commandment is the first positive one we find in Exodus chapter 20, verse number 8, where God says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Now, from the beginning of time, He created the earth in 6 days. In fact, we see that in verse 9. 6 days shalt thou labor, do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, thy son, thy daughter, thy maidservant, manservant, nor thy cattle, nor the strangers in thy gates. For in 6 days did the Lord make heaven and earth, the sea and all that's in them, and rested on the Sabbath. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day, and He hallowed it. God's always had in plan for these people to work 6 days, rest the seventh. But here's your formal rule. So they're conditioned from the very beginning. God worked this way. And I want you to think about when they were instructed in the 16th chapter, which we studied a few weeks ago, to collect manna. They were instructed. You collect it Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, just normal. Friday you collect a double portion because Saturday you don't collect at all. You need to rest on that seventh day. And we see this is the first positive command. There's not a don't do this. Instead it's you need to remember the Sabbath day. Why? To keep it holy. To keep it set apart. And here's what's interesting, friends, about the Ten Commandments, if you will, because for the simple fact that this one, remember the Sabbath day, keep it holy, the only of the Ten Commandments, that's not in the New Testament. All the rest are brought forward. All the rest are retaught, re-put into effect, if you will, in the New Testament. But this one's not. Why? We don't meet on the seventh day. We don't meet on the Sabbath day. We don't worship on Saturday. Now, we go to meetings and we'll have things on Saturday, but our main worship for the week is when? Well, it's on Sunday. Well, you say, Brother Justin, I'm busy on Sunday. Why did you pick Sunday? I didn't pick Sunday. God did. Because that's when they met on the first day of the week, Acts chapter 20, verse 7, 1 Corinthians 16, 1 and 2, and other places in the book of Acts. They met upon the first day of the week to partake the Lord's Supper, to pray, to give, to read, to study, to edify. That's when we meet today as well. Is it wrong to work on the Sabbath? No. You can work on Saturday if you want to. Can we assemble on Saturday? Well, yeah, if you want to get together, study God's Word, there's nothing that says you can't, but you can't make that your one worship for the week because that's on Sunday now. That's what God has commanded, not me. So if you want to get mad and try to change that, say, Brother Justin said I couldn't. He did not. It's recorded. I did not say that. That's what God has said. We're going to have to pause our study here and pick up with commandment number 5 next time we study together. If you want to study any of our lessons again, or maybe you've missed one or two, they're all on my website, thejustinreedshow.com/readingtheword. That's the Justin, R-E-E-D show, thejustinreedshow.com/readingtheword. Or you just go on my website, thejustinreedshow.com. There's a column on the left that says programs. You click on that, it pulls out a new menu. There's a whole lot of good stuff there I've been involved in here, but reading the Word is on there, and you can study those on your own time. Until next time we have a chance to study together, may the good Lord bless you, and may He keep you. Please continue to pray. Thank you for listening.
This has been Reading the Word with Justin Reed, sponsored by the Wood Church of Christ in Woodbury.